And welcome back to the Ivory Antenna here on CHUO 89.1 FM. This is rather nostalgic. I used to host this show. Zach Churchill used to appear on this show a lot. He is the outgoing, well, maybe not a lot, but a few times anyway. He's the outgoing national director of the Canadian Alliance of Student Associations. He's here with us for a little while at CHUO. Welcome back, Zach.
Thank you, Nick. I really appreciate you bringing me back here. Believe it or not, retirement has been somewhat boring so far.
How long have you been actually retired? Is it going on 2 weeks now?
Aarti Sharma, who's the new national director, took over officially on May 1st. I've been kind of just hanging around and doing some transitioning work with her and making sure she's prepared for the couple years ahead.
Yeah, when you were putting together, I guess, your thoughts, transitioning your successor, did it seem like a big job that you did when you were thinking about everything that the next person should know?
Yeah.
Is it manageable?
It's very manageable, and lucky we have a very intelligent staff that work here in Ottawa supporting our national director and make people like me who aren't that smart seem a lot smarter than they actually are.
What was the first thing you told her when she came in? You remember?
I think I congratulated her and then expressed my condolences as well. Good job with the win, Aarti, and now you have 2 years of very stressful work ahead of you.
Yeah, well, it's not exactly easy being a lobbyist for student issues on the Hill, is it?
It's not easy, but it's a lot of fun and very rewarding. We had a really interesting couple of years. In many respects, I think they were very, very successful. And I've learned that, well, we're not the largest voice here in Ottawa. We are a very important one. And I really do think that people involved in this line of work and advocacy play a very important role in the development of public policy and in setting the stage for where this country goes in the future.
How much harder does it make that that CASA isn't the largest voice on the Hill? I mean, there are a lot of large voices, a lot of really loud people up there calling for a lot of things. I was thinking one example is during the budget consultations. You guys are up there, and so are a lot of other people. Does it make it? How much harder does it make it that you're a pretty small group?
It's tough. I mean, we're not a small group. We represent close to 400,000 students, over 24 student associations from across the country. But we do have the benefit of providing a very unique voice in Ottawa, and one that is very, very tuned into what we need for the future. And CASA has always put forward very pragmatic ideas that have been well received. So while we're not the biggest in terms of money and power, I do think that we have the advantage of being representing a young demographic, representing the future of the country, and also having very well thought out ideas that people like, that people can believe in.
Yeah. Yeah. You were national director for 2 years.
I was, yes.
What sticks out when you think about the last couple of years, big achievements?
Well, I've been around the CASA table for 4 years, actually. I was a member for 2 years as president at St. Mary's. I hope we have a rematch with the Vanier Cup this year in Manitoba. Yeah, I look forward to that. And there's been some significant accomplishments, I think, that CASA and that the movement around post-secondary education has gotten these last couple years. The big one we just got was $2 billion for accumulated deferred maintenance on campuses. I mean, this is a big issue in the country. It affects a lot of different schools. And it's starting to affect the cost of education as well as the quality. And Industry Canada actually just cited us as, we're the only stakeholder group they cited by name that played an important role in getting this $2 billion. And now we're starting to see some of that money flow to our provinces. So when you get something like that, when you actually get a win and you can look back at all the meetings you had before and say, yeah, we did that. It's a very, very rewarding feeling.
When did you jump on board this, the accumulated deferred maintenance idea?
Well, it's been, I mean, the membership of CASA sets our
yeah,
goals
right.
every year. And this has been on CASA's agenda for about 2 years as one of our priorities. And so when we were trying to strategize leading up to the federal budget around, you know, what can we do to have an impact on this budget this year, all anyone's ever doing is talking about stimulus. And that's the only thing the government wants to hear from. So we really had to tailor our message a little bit to fit within a stimulus package for the country. And I mean, we were pitching short and long-term stimulus ideas. Obviously, education and our ability to provide skilled workers in Canada and to create a culture of avant-garde thinking and innovation, we think anyway, and a lot of prominent economists would agree with us, is what's going to set Canada apart moving forward and make sure that we're in a competitive position. So it was just about tailoring our ideas going into this and picking our priorities that we thought were achievable and that would be important.
Now, they did pledge the $2 billion in the budget for infrastructure funding on university and college campuses across the country. Now, much like the other infrastructure funding, the other stimulus spending that's gone on, there are people in some political quarters who are suggesting that the money's not being spent quickly enough. The projects just that aren't the shovels are there; they're in the ground, but they're not doing much. Now, in terms of the knowledge infrastructure program, announcements have been made for funding. And just today, the University of Calgary announced $113 million in for projects there. But what's your opinion? Do you think that these are these projects are really getting going quickly enough? Ontario's announcements haven't been made, and it's a pretty big problem with a lot of different institutions.
Yeah, and we do have some concerns about the eligibility of certain schools, especially in the Maritimes. I mean, there are concerns that we have with this. One being, is this money going to get out the door and support projects that will help students? We've been seeing out west in particular that some of the money has started to flow. Two of our members in BC, UBC and Fraser Valley, both received their numbers. That was released by the province a couple weeks ago. UBC received $33 million, I believe. That was matched by 34 from the province, and Fraser Valley received about $7 million in total from this funding. So we're starting to see the money get out the door. We do have concerns as well about where this funding is going. We want there to be a healthy balance between funding regular deferred maintenance projects like fixing up classrooms, windows, making sure there's no asbestos in our buildings. Those things that really ensure that we have that students have a good educational experience while at school. And we also want to see a healthy balance between that and projects that are around science, innovation, and research as well to upgrade labs and create new labs and stuff like that. Because the government said they wanted to focus on the latter of those two. And we want to make sure that there's a healthy balance.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the list here of projects announced in Nova Scotia, one of three provinces to at least partially, in Nova Scotia's case, fully announce their envelope of funding for these projects. And there are things like at Acadia University, renovations to Patterson Hall at the Atlantic School of Theology, where I once stayed, actually, for a night. A dark fiber interconnection, whatever the hell that means. That sounds pretty technical. And Dalhousie University, a life sciences center retrofit. So it's a mix of big sort of grand projects as well as these little dark fiber interconnections going on at the Atlantic School of Theology. Electrical distribution upgrades, curtain wall replacements, satellite locations, a lot of nuts and bolts. How does that fit into to your hopes and dreams for that money?
Well, any project, what's happening or what's been happening in recent years is that fees associated with deferred maintenance have been going up on campus. Schools like St. Mary's, Dalhousie, and other ones across the country have instated deferred maintenance fees, actually. And so students have actually been bearing the burden of paying for these maintenance issues that really should be included in the cost of education anyway. So this funding will do namely two things for students. One, make sure that they're going to school in appropriate buildings where they can get a quality education. And two, help ensuring that students aren't bearing the burden of costs associated with maintenance on campus.
There's one school that sticks out here, maybe for you too. It's your school, St. Mary's University. A little over $22 million combined, $11 million and change each from the federal and provincial governments for the McNally Building and North Campus infrastructure. What do you think about that? How are they treating your alma mater?
Oh, it sounds like they're treating them pretty well. I wasn't familiar with the numbers before the interview, but it's good to hear that there's some money flowing out east. We had concerns about money going out east because there's a matching portion of this funding as well. Mm-hmm. So the federal government says if the institutions can find matching funds, then we'll pay up to 50% or whatever.
Right.
So we were concerned out east that they'd have a hard time finding those matching funds because of what's happened with the provincial spending capacities out there. So it's good to hear that money's going out there, especially St. Mary's.
Yeah, of course.
One of the best schools in Canada, of course.
And it looks like, scanning this list, I mean, I'm, off the top of my head, I'm not sure how many institutions there are in Nova Scotia, but this does fund a lot of different universities, all the big names that come to my mind, and also a lot of community colleges. And I know the announcements made in British Columbia were the same. They were pretty evenly spread in terms of projects across the province. In terms of money, it's a different story. UBC and the big research schools and the bigger schools in Nova Scotia got more money. When I was writing a story about this for University Affairs magazine, and it something that a lot of the people I had talked to, a lot of administrators at schools said actually came to fruition, which was they're not going to play politics really with this funding. It's going to go to a lot of different institutions, and not really, no one's really going to be left behind, or they're at least going to get a project. So that's interesting.
Yeah, well, that's very helpful. I mean, one of our concerns that we made very clear to government is that we want to make sure there's a healthy balance of schools getting this, and we want to make sure that projects that are important to students are getting funded. And from the news we've received so far, it seems very promising, and we're encouraged. This, of course, isn't the answer to all the issues that students are facing, but it's one of the it represents one of the challenges that we faced, especially in recent years, and we're happy to have played a part in achieving this.
We're going to be back in a few minutes with more from Zach Churchill of Castle, but for now we're going to play a song called Joseph McCarthy Was a KGB Spy. This is by the Kremlin here on CHUO 89.1 FM. Here we are back on the nostalgia edition of the Ivory Antenna on CHUO 89.1 FM. My name is Nick Taylor-Raise. I'm your host for the hour, and I'm with Zach Churchill, who's the outgoing National Director of the Canadian Alliance of Student Associations here in Ottawa. He's been lobbying for a little while, advocating for a little while for students. And we're talking about transitions. He's riding off into the sunset and has been doing so for officially 19 days, I guess 20 days, depending on whether or not you count weekends. And there's a process going on. We were talking a bit off air. Zach, what's happening? There are regional transition meetings happening?
Yeah, every year we have a new membership come in for the most part, where there's turnover on campuses and new student leadership coming into CASA. And so each year, we put together regional transitions with our members where they get to chat with outgoing people, and hopefully we put them in a position where they're prepared to take on their CASA responsibilities for the year and make the important decisions that need to be made in terms of where the organization goes next. Because each year, whatever membership comes in has complete rein on what they want to do to the organization and what direction they want to see it go in.
And these regional transitions are happening right now? Or at least very
soon? We've had two of them already. We've had one out east, which is actually hosted at Acadia. We've had one out west, and we're having one this week at St. Catharines at Brock.
Right, and so when all these finish and all the new people have they're armed with their skills, their newly developed skills, they're going to go somewhere soon to have a big annual policy talk.
Yeah. Each year, mostly in June, we bring all of our members together from across the country, and they sit, debate, discuss, and set the priorities for the year, set the direction of where they want CASA to go and what they want the staff and each other to focus on. And we're making sure that they're prepared to make the decisions that they're going to make at that point.
How do you decide which school is going to host?
There's a bidding process, which can be very, very exciting. It's like a mini election.
Oh, man, let's talk about it.
Yeah. Well, it happens at our plenary, actually. Schools that are interested will put in a bid. We usually get very colorful and entertaining presentations, PowerPoint presentations. And then the membership debates the merits of every campus and chooses a campus to go to. We do that for our policy and strategy conference and our annual general meeting, which happens in March.
Right. Where was the annual general meeting this year?
It was actually in Ottawa. Okay, so we have three conferences every year that involve the entire membership. We usually have a lobby conference in November where all of our members come and meet with members of parliament, leaders of the parties, civil servants, senators. This year the government kind of screwed up our schedule a little bit.
They went through a bit of a thing up there.
Yeah, with an election and the prorogation of parliament and a federal budget. So we had to push our lobby con back into March. And we actually just had two conferences together this year, our lobby conference and our annual general meeting. A really successful lobby conference. This is the first time that a student group has met with all political leaders of every party during 1 week. And we met with Prime Minister Harper, Michael McNadiff, Jack Layton, Gilles Duceppe, and Elizabeth May as well. And we even got positive feedback from the Bloc this year, which was really, really encouraging and exciting.
Why do they usually not give you positive feedback?
Well, we always get positive feedback from most of the individuals that we meet with. A challenge with the Bloc, obviously, is that they're a separatist party and have a very, very rigid definition of education being a matter of provincial jurisdiction. We're obviously a national group that focuses our efforts on how the federal government can be involved in post-secondary education, how they need to be involved in post-secondary education. So there's been some policy disagreements in the past. We've met with Gilles Duceppe a number of times and other prominent members of that party. But this year we actually had a focus on copyright, price of textbooks that are imported into the country, and how a system of student financial aid needs to be set up so it includes whatever provisions Quebec needs to have. So they're actually very, very receptive this year to a lot of these ideas. And we share similar policy goals, as we did with the other parties.
Do you feel like they treat you any differently when you're up there? Because when I say you, I don't just mean you, Zach Churchill, but all of the Castle reps who are up there and lobby people. You know, you're younger. Some aren't still in school. Some are just representing students. But, you know, you're focusing on education, which is an issue that that maybe doesn't always occupy the minds of a lot of different legislators. Do you ever get the feeling that you don't really have their ear and you have to work a little harder than everyone else to get it?
Sometimes. I mean, I don't know if we have to work harder than everybody else, but any interest group needs to obviously work very, very hard to get their ideas on the agenda of government. Thankfully, CASA, over the course of our last 15 years, has developed a very, very strong reputation here in Ottawa and across the country. We've been known to bring forward very good ideas and in a professional way that treats people as people. And that has allowed us to have very, very important conversations with the top decision makers in this country.
I'm wondering, you are talking to the top decision makers. You were the national director of a group based in Ottawa. You held that position for 2 years. Did you ever, I don't know, sort of dilly-dally around the cocktail circuit? Did you ever get a taste of that, what it's like to be in political Ottawa after 5 p.m.?
Absolutely. I mean,
and how was that? Tell the listeners, because down here in the Commons, we don't, you know.
Well, I live in the Commons as well, like, as you know. And I usually only go to the free parties. It's an important part of being an advocacy group, I believe, is developing key relationships. I mean, I think the world is run on relationships. And you need to know the right people, and you need to have the trust of the right people. And so we do whatever we can do to develop those relationships here in Ottawa and develop meaningful relationships where people feel that they can use us as a reliable and valued resource. And part of doing that is hitting the as you called it, the cocktail circuit here in Ottawa, which can be fun.
Darcy McGee's 2 a.m. Peter McKay.
Yeah, I've had conversations with certain ministers in the wee hours of the night that have actually been very helpful.
If ever anyone needed any motivation to aspire to your position, I would say that's it. We're going to take another quick break here on the Ivory Antenna. We'll be back with a wrap-up with Zach Churchill in just a couple minutes. And we're back here on the Ivory Antenna, CHUO 89.1 FM. My name is Nick Taylor-Vasey. It's nearing the bottom of the hour, 28 minutes after 2. We're going to wrap up our talk with Zach Churchill, who's the outgoing National Director of the Canadian Alliance of Student Associations. Zach, so you're finished. Your reign of terror is complete. What is next?
I just told you when we were off air there for a sec that I have no idea, and by asking that, you're going to really stress me out. I'm not entirely sure what I'm going to do in the short term, Nick. But I've been a part of something that has entailed a lot of really cool and awesome elements. You know, I've had the privilege for the last 4 years to be part of a movement and an organization that is driven by effecting change for people that need help. And it's something that I've found to be very fulfilling, and I've been honored to serve in these past roles that I have. And I really do hope that another opportunity does open itself to me where I can be involved in this kind of work. In advocating on behalf of an interest group or being part of the public policy process that does lead to positive changes in the country.
Do you think you might want to stick around the education field?
Yeah, I would. I mean, I sincerely believe that education is a vital, vital aspect of Canadian life, our economy, our culture, and our society. It's an important part of justice. And I strongly believe that we have certain groups in the country that are disadvantaged and aren't pursuing higher education to the same levels as they should be or that the country needs them to. And I believe that the sector, post-secondary education, is important to make sure that this country is in a competitive place when we come out of this recession, where people have a chance to make a good living, to be happy with their families, to be able to travel, see the world. And I would be honored to still be a part of the sector and be part of the movement for change in it.
That's Zach Churchill, the outgoing national director of the Canadian Alliance of Student Associations. Thanks for coming on the show, Zach.
Thank you, Nick. It's always a pleasure.
Yes.
Going to do a 10-year reunion? Or?
Yeah, we'll see you in 2019.
Yeah.